Christ is risen. Alleluia. He is risen indeed. Alleluia. Grace to you and peace from God, our Heavenly Father, and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. St. Peter declares, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. According to his great mercy, he has called us to be born again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ, our Lord." You may be seated. We come again to the dawn of this great festival day, a day that brings with it some great traditions. And these are the customs and practices that occur year after year in families, in churches, even in whole cultures. Those that are often handed down from one generation to the next. Sometimes traditions are so old that their origins or their original meaning can become obscured, but the practice is often continued anyway because, well, that's what we always do in our family. Or that's the way our church has always done it. Traditions can play an important part in our shared identity, in our ever-changing, ever more fragmented world. They can provide a little sense of permanence connecting us to something larger than ourselves. What sort of traditions does your family bring to Easter morning? Easter dawn brings us together here for this very early worship service. Certainly, it isn't a part of our weekly routine. But for this very special morning, we have been following the sunrise tradition probably longer than anyone can remember. It's a tradition we share with congregations all over the world as together we go to the tomb in those early dawn hours. And along with sunrise worship, there is the breakfast we will share in a little bit, which has been our custom for decades too, I imagine. Early Easter morning brings, of course, that wonderful fragrance of flowers, the great hymns of Easter, and that familiar gospel reading. All those things that connect us to Easter morning's past and will likely do so for many years to come. But truth be told, not all traditions are such joyful ones. Our handling of funerals often brings time-honored traditions into practice as well. Even in the midst of sorrow, familiar customs and practices are so important. They alleviate confusion, instruct us in what we are to do, and they provide a more solid footing upon which to walk through grief. The early dawn, after that ugly Friday and that sorrowful Sabbath, was such a time for a small group of faithful women in Jerusalem. St. John records only Mary Magdalene coming to the tomb. So early in the morning, it was still dark. Other gospel writers reveal that she didn't come alone, but with other grieving women, all followers, friends even, of Jesus. Tradition instructed that they bring spices to the tomb to anoint Jesus' lifeless body for a proper Jewish burial. It's what Mary and the other women felt called to do, at a time when none of Jesus' followers really knew what to do with themselves and what to expect from the future. Their Lord was dead. Their hearts ached, their future uncertain. And this faithful act of service to their teacher was the only solid footing for their own grief. But at the tomb, They discovered that this particular morning follows no tradition at all. It has no precedent, for what this morning brings was altogether new. This is the dawn of resurrection. And this dawn brings astonishment, the sight of that great stone already rolled away and the body gone. This dawn brings amazement. Messengers who are the very angels of heaven, this dawn brings reunion. Teacher Mary cries out in joy, recognizing the now risen Jesus. And she seeks to embrace him and cling to him in a kind of shocked joy. But Jesus brings her more than reunion. He brings the fulfillment of God's plan of salvation. And in keeping with that plan, Jesus knows he has not risen to stay among them, but rather to return from whence he came. He must ascend to God the Father. And Mary, in her now confused joy, must bring this miraculous announcement to the others. "I have seen the Lord," she would report, along with all that Jesus had said. In time, Jesus' followers would come. Those who walked with him, followed him to the cross, and ached at the sight of his death would come to recognize what this first Easter morning, this empty tomb, this risen Jesus really brings to their lives and to the world. For Easter brings new life, and Easter brings hope. Here again, the great proclamation of St. Peter, read this morning as our epistle. For in these words, in this joyful truth, we find the complete declaration of what Easter brings to all of us. Peter declares, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. According to his great mercy, he has caused us to be born again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead." Easter brings a new life and a living hope to us. This day brings so much more, even than the most familiar of traditions, even more than the miraculous account of the women and the disciples who saw the risen Lord. For Jesus' resurrection is indeed for us. This new life and living hope for us. As we just sang in the hymn, "I know that my Redeemer lives, and likewise I to life shall waken. We are born again, Peter continues in verse 4, to an inheritance that is imperishable, undefiled, unfading, and kept in heaven for you. Jesus told Mary not to cling to him because he was ascending to the Father, just as he had promised before he died in those familiar words in John 14, Jesus was going to the Father's house, there to prepare a place for all whose living hope is in the living Lord. And as we too have been born again to faith in Christ, Easter brings the hope of this unchangeable inheritance into clear view once again. And because Easter brings a living hope, we are among the ones Peter addresses in verse 5. Those who by God's power are being guarded through faith for a salvation ready to be revealed in the last time. This is the essence of our living hope, knowing that you are being guarded by God's power, even now, through your faith. The Easter promise Reveal that the empty tomb is an ongoing promise of salvation that will finally be revealed when Christ returns. And in verse 6, Peter begins to summarize, declaring, "In this you rejoice. Indeed we do. For Christ is risen, alleluia. He is risen indeed, alleluia." Peter goes on. "Though now for a little while, if necessary, you have been grieved by various trials, so that the genuineness of your faith may be found to result in the praise and glory and honor at the resurrection of Jesus Christ." And here's the part we might like to so avoid on such a festive day: more talk of grief and trial. But the Christian faith always embraces the truth. And the truth is, we still live in a broken world, a world beset by sin and struggle. And here we are reminded that even our trials are meant to be a part of our living hope in Christ Jesus. As we face those trials, we are, as Peter describes, being refined like gold in a fire, made ready for the real glory and the eternal life that God is preparing for each one of us. Such a promise is not meant to dismiss or belittle the hardships that we experience in this life. Jesus, of course, knew real, intense suffering. And God knows that the pain in our lives is real. But the promise is greater even than our worst earthly trial. Jesus surely endured the greatest trial imaginable, and his victory over death itself is our great reason for hope this Easter dawn. Our trials in this life prepare us for what is infinitely greater and still to come. And Peter concludes, "Though you have not seen him, you love him. You believe in him and rejoice with a joy that is inexpressible and filled with glory, obtaining the outcome of your faith, the salvation of your souls." May such faith and joy in Christ truly be yours today. No, we have not seen him, as Mary and the others did on that first Easter morning. This is true. But the living hope of Easter is God's invitation to keep your eyes fixed on Jesus, even as his eyes of grace, love, and mercy are fixed on you today and always, even to that day when Christ returns and calls each of us home to his eternal glory. For Christ is risen, alleluia. He is risen indeed, alleluia. Amen.